Amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I'm so excited to see the house of God full today. Usually the weekend of 4th of July is the lowest attended of the year. So thank you for being in your place, and I am thrilled and excited to see that. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look in verse number 4, and this is a familiar verse. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4, let's read this together. Here we go, 1, 2, 3, let's go, ready? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let's say it one more time. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Today we're going to talk about the joy of being a Christian. Really, I believe and I know with all my heart that there is no greater joy in this world than to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you agree with that, say amen. 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 The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let's pray together before we start. Father, I thank you once again for this opportunity to preach your word. And Lord, I pray that you will use me as a vessel in your hand. Use me as an instrument in your hand to be a blessing to people. Lord, I pray that you will give us open ears to what your Spirit has to say. Lord, I pray that we will respond to your moving. In your name we pray. Amen. The Bible says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God wants you to be a person full of joy. A person full of happiness. Now, a lot of times in the Christian life, you'll see a Christian and they look like they drank pickle juice for breakfast, and they're walking around with a sour look on their face. And their favorite, when I was a little kid, they had Winnie the Pooh. What's that donkey's name? Eeyore. And you walk around like this. Bless God, I'm a Christian. Amen. I'm going to go to heaven. And they live that way. And you look at them, and the unsaved look at them and go, why would I want something like that? All right? Why would I want that? And really, that is not God's intention for the believer. God wants us to be people full of joy, people full of excitement, people full of energy, to be constantly rejoicing. God gives us a command here. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Joy is not happiness. Sometimes we think that what I'm looking for is happiness, and happiness will give me stability in my life. But joy goes beyond that. You see, joy is a settled, it's almost like a happiness, but it's independent of the situation that you're in. I asked this in the last service. When you have a big sailing ship or a sailboat, the thing that keeps it from flipping over in the wind, what is that called? A keel. Now, up in the south, when you say, I'm going to keel, that's different than... Notice it said up in the south, all right? A keel, it's that thing that sticks on the bottom of the sailing ship. And what that does is when the wind is blowing this way, it gives it stability. And when the wind blows this way, it gives it stability this direction. Joy is the keel for the Christian life. Because sometimes the winds of good times hit our lives, and we're doing good, and it's blowing this way. And if we don't have the stability of the joy of the Lord, then what happens is we can get overburdened with pride, and then we could fall over this way. When the difficult times come in our lives, the winds blow this way, and if we don't have joy, those trials and those problems and those negative times, they can make us fall and get discouraged. And joy is the stability in the Christian life. That's why God says, rejoice in the Lord always. When times are good, rejoice in the Lord. When times are bad, rejoice in the Lord. When you are when it's your birthday, rejoice in the Lord. For some of you, maybe not. when you run out of money and there's too much month left, rejoice in the Lord. God wants us to rejoice in the Lord always. It's a command of God. And then God reminds us. He says again, I say rejoice. God wants to remind us to be people full of joy. We shouldn't be people that are You know, like Pollyanna. You ever watch that movie Pollyanna? That girl annoyed me to death when I was a little kid watching that movie. And she was always happy and just, God doesn't want us to walk around like we're little mini Joel Osteens and enjoying life all the time. And, you know, those kind of things. And yeah, I said his name. All right. I'm his biggest fan. You know that if you've been here a long time. He doesn't want us to live life like that where we're pretending and it's like we ate Prozac for breakfast. And, you know, like that's not how God wants us to act all the time. But God wants us to have a joy that the world can't give. And today I want to encourage you with this truth that you can have joy being a Christian. There is no greater joy in this world than being a believer in Jesus Christ. If you have your bulletin, you can follow along in the notes and write a few things down if you'd like. I'll give you basically four reasons today why you should enjoy being a Christian. Why you should have the joy of the Lord. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's our strength. If you don't have the joy of the Lord as a Christian, you are very weak and you are unstable. You don't have a keel and so you're bouncing back and forth with the situations of life. But if you have joy in Jesus Christ, then you have stability. You have strength. You have the strength of God. How is God? How can we be joyful as Christians? Well, I like Psalm chapter 43. Go to Psalm 43. I love the book of Psalms. Someday, many, many years from now, when I'm a pastor of my own church, I will probably preach out of the Psalms all the time. I love it. When I teach the youth, every time I'm preaching something from the book of Psalms. I love the book of Psalms. It's God's songbook. It's a wonderful, wonderful book of the Bible. So it's a goldmine of truths. I love it. And Psalm 43 gives us the first reason why you should be a joyful Christian, why you should have the joy of the Lord in your life. The Bible says, I'm going to read the whole Psalm to you. It's really short. But it starts off with David being extremely discouraged. I mean, he's at rock bottom in his life. He says, "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art my God, the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of my enemy?" He's full of mourning. He's saying, "O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill. Into thy tabernacles." Verse number 4, it says, "Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my" what? "My exceeding joy." God is my exceeding joy. "Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God my God." Look how we went from discouragement to praise. Then he says, "Well, why art thou cast down, O my soul?" He's going, "Why am I so down? Why should I be sad? Why are thou disquieted within me?" He says, "Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." I think that one of the greatest reasons why we can be joyful as Christians is that God is our exceeding joy. You see, God is not the source of joy. The presence of God is joy itself. That's the definition of joy. We don't get joyful things from God. God is joy. God is our exceeding joy. You see, the Bible teaches that man hungers after God. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, that God has put the ages in the heart of man. That means God has put an eternal hunger in your heart that only an eternal being, that's God, only He can fill that. If you look across the page to Psalm 42, verse number 1, it says, As a deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for" what? "God." We have an innate created hunger in our hearts for the presence of God. You were designed, and I was designed, for a relationship and fellowship with God. Augustine said this. He says, "Thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till we find our rest in thee." We can go through life and we can fill our lives with the things that aren't God. And we can go to the world and fill our lives with all the things that God says don't fill your life with and follow after those sinful things, but they will never satisfy the desire that we have towards God. My friend, God is our exceeding joy. He is the source of all that we are looking for. And I thank God as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as a child of God, that I have the God who is my exceeding joy. The Bible says that our soul thirsts after Him. And as believers, sometimes we go to God who is the well of salvation, and we fill our lives with God, but we make certain decisions sometimes where we decide to follow that sinful nature that's in our heart. And what we do is, instead of leaving the God who's our exceeding joy, we think sin is going to make us happy. And we forget God, and we think the grass is greener on the other side. And so what happens is we dabble in sin, and we lose that fellowship with God. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So our connection with God is not in our relationship. We're still children of God, but that close fellowship where we are, God is our exceeding joy, that's broken. I was talking to somebody on the phone the other day, and I'm on the cell phone, all of a sudden the line goes dead. Is that the most annoying thing in the world? You're talking to somebody and it goes dead. That's what happens with us and God. It's not like we're not children of God anymore, but that closeness, that communication is broken. And we dabble in sin, and then we look back and it's broken, and so we go further and further. And we can get so far from God because we're just going further and further, and we're trying to get satisfaction and joy in that what we're looking for in the world and through sinful things, and it never satisfies. We've got to go further and further. And as believers, we can go very far from God. We can get really low in our lives, and we get very weak because the joy of the Lord's our strength. And so He's not giving us strength, and we are just basically at rock bottom. But I do thank God that in Psalm 85, verse 6, it says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? You see, what we need when we're away from God is a revival. Now, revival doesn't happen in 1 week in January, okay? Those are revival meetings when you invite the preacher, the evangelist in, and they preach. And that's really not what this is talking about. This is talking about the revival that we have as individuals, where we make a decision to say, you know what, God, I'm stopping, and I just want to turn around. And God, I am so far from you, and I'm just going to turn around. But you know the cool thing about God is that while we are straying from Him, He is pursuing us. And like that old gospel song says, that He's as close as the mention of His name. When you turn and say, "Lord, I have sinned against you," oh, there you are. And then the fellowship is returned. And then God becomes your exceeding joy. I love what David said in Psalm 51. I said this in the first service. You know the great verse, 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and He's just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we confess to God, He forgives us. Psalm 51 is 1 John 1:9 in high definition. You see, David was a man after God's own heart, but he committed adultery with Bathsheba. He murdered her husband Uriah. David broke his fellowship with God according to Bible scholars, for about a year. Where he, at one time, he was the one that wrote these Psalms and was inspired of God, and he was the worship leader of Israel. He turned his back on God, and he went this way. But God pursued him, and God went after him. God didn't give up on him. God doesn't give up on you and I. And David experienced a revival, and he started praying and asking God's forgiveness. Psalm 51, verse number 12, he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." If you're a Christian today and you've lost your joy, you need a revival. When I lose my joy, I need a revival. I need to turn back to God and say, "God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Bring me back into fellowship, because God, you truly are my exceeding joy. I am joyful. And I rejoice to be a Christian because God is our exceeding joy." Let's move on to another one. Let's look in Psalm 128. Now, we won't be spending the whole day in the book of Psalms today, but Psalm 128. I can rejoice, and you should rejoice in being a Christian, because God Himself, His person, is our exceeding joy. You have a relationship with the God of the universe. You have a relationship with the God that made the sun and the moon and the stars. You have a relationship with the God that created the trillions of galaxies. The other night this has nothing to do with the sermon, but I woke up in the middle of the night. It was kind of weird. And I started thinking about the galaxies. I don't know why. I'm a nerd. And I was thinking about how huge space is. I started thinking about that. And to think how the trillions of galaxies out there, and it's almost kind of scary. It's kind of overwhelming, and you can't get your mind wrapped around that. And then I thought about, wait a second, my God made all those. As huge as the universe is, God is bigger, and my God is powerful, and I get to have a relationship with that God. That's amazing. God is our exceeding joy. Let's look in the second one, Psalm 128. Let's read verse number one. Let's look at the first word. What does it say? Blessed. You know what blessed means in Hebrew? Wow! Lucky! No way! All right, that's really what blessed means. Blessed. You know, God has a life of blessing. I enjoy being a Christian. I rejoice in being a Christian because I enjoy the blessings God gives me. God gives us blessings. You know, the Bible says that God daily loads us up with benefits. He just piles his blessings upon us. And sometimes we get, as Christians, we forget all the things God does for us. What happens is we start complaining about the things we don't have rather than praising God for the things he's given us. But I want to take a moment and look at just one little area of some of the blessings that God gives us. Psalm 128 says, blessed or lucky or happy or woe is everyone that feareth the Lord. What's the rest of the verse say? That walketh in his ways. Now, you have to understand something. If you want to live a life of blessing, you have to fear the Lord. You have to walk in his ways. You have to live in his boundaries. God in his word tells us what's right. God in his word tells us what's wrong. It's not my decision to say what I think is right and wrong. It's my understanding where I'm going to submit myself under the authority of God's word. Our country and our culture is full of people saying, well, I don't think anything wrong with that. It doesn't matter what they think. It matters what God says. If man says this is fine and God says this is wrong, then it is wrong, no matter how many men say. But the truth, the Bible says, if we fear the Lord and walk in his ways, we live in the boundaries of blessing. You think about the game of football. You think about how in football, that football athlete, that star, think about how he would start complaining, saying, well, listen, it's no fair that I can't catch a pass in the stands. That's no fair. That's no fair. And you know what? Wait a second. I wish I could tackle people in the locker room. And there's no, these boundaries, I don't like these boundaries. But that football player plays his game inside the boundaries that are established, and there's glory, there's blessing, there's excitement. You know, the Christian life, a lot of times people say, well, bless God, we can't smoke, can't drink, can't chew, can't run with girls that do, and I'm just going to go home and study the Bible, and this, you know, we're going to live this life, and someday get to go to heaven where there's going to be no fun on the way there. Really, the truth is that God has a life that's exciting. God has a life of blessing. God has a wonderful life for the believer. God knows what makes you tick. God knows what makes you happy. And in the boundaries of fearing God and walking in his ways, there's a satisfying, wonderful life that he has prepared for you. The Bible says, as blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. If you're willing to submit to God's authority, then God will bless you. Well, how does God bless us? Well, let's look at verse number two. Here's just some of the things. It says, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. You know what God will do? God will bless your labor. Nobody wants to work and have somebody else get the credit. It's like if I worked all day and someone else got the paycheck. The government does. But you know, I mean, it's like, really, you think about that. That's no fair. That's no fun. To have no profit in the things that I give my life to. God says, listen, there will be profit in your labor. There'll be profit in your labor. There will be, you will reap the rewards of the things you work for. That's important. I love this next one. What's the next word? After thine hands, what's the next word? Happy. Who in here wants to be happy? I do. Okay. Who here doesn't? Who in here wants to be happy? Raise your hand. Everybody wants to be happy, right? Yeah, you're like, I don't know. Is that spiritual? All right. Rather be holy. Yeah, okay, listen. God wants you to be happy. Listen, God, happy shall they be. If you live your life with the joy of the Lord and to live your life for Jesus Christ, you will be a happy person. That Christian that walks around always pouting and always sad, I promise you they're not doing the things of God. They're not obeying God. They're a child of God, but they are not following because they're disobeying. Basically, rejoice in the Lord. You rejoice in the Lord always. God wants you to be happy. God is concerned about those things. He will give you happiness. It shall be well with thee. That means you're going to have a good life. Nobody here wants to have a bad life. You want to have a good life, a successful life. God gives those things to the people that fear him. Verse number 3, it says, thy wife shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. You know what that is? That's true love. The desire of man and women is one of the greatest desires is love. And not just love from God, and that's where we have to get most of our love from. But when God created Adam, he said, it is not good for man to be alone. So he made Eve and brought her to Adam. And God created that, and that's a blessing of God. I love the next one. It says, thy children shall be like olive plants round about thy table. In the nation of Israel, the olive tree is a very important symbol. An olive tree starts off as an olive plant. And I hate olives. I don't know why they like olives. Some people love olives, and I don't know. Olive, that's the other reindeer. Olive, the other reindeer. You'll get that later. But an olive plant starts very small, and what happens is it takes 50 years to grow. And when the Bible says that your children shall be like olive plants round about thy table, basically it's saying that those children are going to grow and be something wonderful. You're going to have a family. You're going to have a legacy. Your impact is going to exceed your life. Now, there's people in here, I would never want to embarrass them, but there are several men in this room where I look at them, and they're my heroes. And I tell their sons, man, your dad is one of my heroes. And to see how some of these men, they impact these generations, and they impact their children and other young men that don't have dads in their life, and to see just the impact that they have, and to see how those little olive plants grow into olive trees. And, you know, when I die, I'm not going to be asking for my bank account. Right, I'm not going to be saying, hey, how much stuff do I have? And what am I going to be asking for? The doctor? No, but my children. You know, one man said, well, the last thing I want to hear before I die is clear. Okay. Others, you know, fire. Okay. For some people, hey, watch this. I don't know. But when I die, what I want to hear before I die is I want to hear my children's voices. I want to have my family around me. And you know, let me tell you, these are important things. God promises to give you a successful life, love, family. Look at the next one. It says in verse number 4, behold, that thus shall the man of God, the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Verse number 5, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. That's peace. You understand to the Jewish person that the peace of Jerusalem is the most important thing. There's nothing more important in their culture than Jerusalem's peace. And God's saying, I will give peace to Jerusalem. Verse number 6, yea, thou shalt see thy children's children in peace upon Israel. It means a long life. You know, a person that fears God generally lives a long life. You obey God and follow his plan, not to earn favor with God, but just to live a good old-fashioned Christian life. You know what? You're going to live a long life. You're going to live a satisfying life. You're going to be like Abraham. When the Bible says that when he died full of years. Like you just had a life of significance. Instead of wasting your life on yourself and following sin and going after the pleasures of the world, you've lived a significant life. Let me tell you, the Christian life is a life of joy. It pays to serve God. Amen? You know, we need to thank God for all of his blessings rather than complaining about all the things that we don't have. You know, the Christian life is a joyful life because God himself is our exceeding joy. It's a joyful life because of the blessings that God gives me. But I love this next one because life is, you know, like the winds of good times, and that keel keeps you stable. Sometimes the bad winds blow, the difficult times blow. Let's look in Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61. This is a very important portion of the scripture. Jesus got up in a synagogue and he read Isaiah 61 and he stopped at a certain point. I'll show that to you in a second. But this is basically a messianic prophecy. A prophecy of Jesus' ministry. What Jesus Christ does for people. In Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 1, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus stopped there. It says in the Gospels, Jesus stopped right there. Because that was his first ministry on this earth. His first incarnation. And then the Bible says that it goes on. It says in the day of vengeance of our God. You see, when Jesus came, he came as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He went and he submitted himself to the cross to die for our sins. He underwent abuse and beatings and the nails through his hands and the spear in his side and the crown, the thorns in his crown. And he did that to save us. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. And he returned, the Bible says, to the right hand of God. But the Bible says that Jesus is returning. And he is not returning as the quiet, meek lamb. He's returning as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And the Bible says that the day of vengeance of our God, he will return, the Bible says, to bring vengeance upon the world. But the Bible goes on here and it says, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them the beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Verse number 4 says, they might, in that they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. See, in these passages, there's mourning, there's captivity, there's desolation, there's ashes, there's sadness. I thank God that God can turn our sorrows to joy. I thank God that he can turn our sorrows to joy. That's why I can be a joyful Christian. You know what? No matter what happens in my life, I know that God can do something about it. I know what, no matter what tragedy enters my life, I know that God will be with me. And even if I die, like Job said, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. God just brought to mind a friend of mine from college. I had a friend named Josh, and very sad. He was a pastor's son. And Josh had five brothers and sisters in Lansing, Michigan. His dad was a pastor. I think it was a church planter. He went into Lansing and kind of in the inner city type area and just a poor area. And he opened up a storefront church and just had a great family and exciting ministry, what God was doing in Lansing, Michigan. But one day they found out that dad had cancer. And that dad died. Five or six kids. And the kids were just so their world was turned upside down, including my friend Josh. And then they found out that Josh's mom had cancer too and had brain cancer. And instead of taking her very quickly, it was a slow deterioration of her mind to where she became just an invalid from the brain tumor. And eventually she died. But let me tell you, I have never seen the joy of the Lord like on the faces of those kids. I have never seen people go through such suffering in my life. And I'll never forget just the smiles on their faces. And I'm thinking, your parents are dying. Your kids, you have nothing. They weren't rich people. They had nothing. And yet to see how much hope they had, how much peace they had, they trusted God. And you know what? God got them through that. They were all right. You know, I tell this to people all the time. Pastor Jay, I'm going through such a problem. If you tell me that, you know what I'm going to tell you? Hey, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. You are going to be all right. Do you know that? Amen. Why? Because God can turn our sorrow to joy. You know, God's people experience difficult things. Sometimes, probably most of the time, the child of God will go through a tougher time than the person that's not a believer. Sometimes, I've seen that. Where when my daughter was in the hospital, we were in intensive care for 6 months with our baby. And I saw people, their kids weren't as sick. Their kids, man, they got to leave. We're there forever. It got there. We baby was born on Labor Day, and baby left hospital. Aubrey left the hospital on Valentine's Day, and it got so tiring. Where I remember going to the hospital and just after driving 3 hours one way to the hospital, and in snow, uphills both ways, literally. Being able to put one foot in front of the other and just saying, God, I need your grace. I need your help. Help me get through this. Help me just take one step. We're so tired. And guess what? God brought us through it. He's turning 11 this year. turning 11 this year. I don't like that. God will get you through it. You know, the Bible here says in verse number 3, it says, God gives us beauty for ashes. Nothing is more destructive than fire. I had a friend that in Michigan, when I lived up there, his house burned down. Lost everything. And everything is just destroyed, wasted. There's no hope. But even in ashes like that, God gives beauty. He can make something beautiful come out of that. I love this one. It says he gives you the oil of joy for mourning. You know, if you're mourning, if you have sorrow in your heart, you can realize that God can intervene in a hopeless situation. God can intervene in a hopeless situation. Job lost everything. But Job said this. He said, God, now I know that you're a God that can do everything. That's found in Job 42, verse 1, I think. I know that you're a God that can do everything. Write that down. You're going to need that someday. God, I'm so full of trouble and so full of sorrow. And God, my tears are just flowing. God, will you help me? And the answer is yes. Trust God. I can enjoy being a Christian because I know that I have a God that can intervene in a hopeless situation. Verse number 4, it says, they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. That word desolation, that's a terrible word. That's the word destruction. You know, sometimes our problems are external problems, and they come into our lives, and our lives get burned down. But it's worse when we ravage our own lives. When we make decisions, we're just like, I can't believe I've done that. And in our lives, we've destroyed our own lives. Can you keep your hand here in Isaiah and go with me just a few books over to Ezekiel? I love this verse, and this is a verse I want to encourage you. You're my church family. I so want to encourage you with this. I've got a lot of people right now that just friends of mine, not even people in church, just people that I know that are going through hard times. You know, a lot of the time I read them this verse, Ezekiel 36. Think of a guy that wears 36 pants tall, 36 wide. So Ezekiel, his name is Ezekiel, 36:36. You'll never forget that. In the middle of this verse, there's a sentence, and I want you to look at it. It starts the word I the Lord. You see that? Ezekiel 36:36 in the center. I the Lord build the what? Ruined places. I love that. I need that. You need that. I, the Lord, build the ruined places. You know what? You might have ruined your life, but God can restore it. God can intervene in a hopeless situation, but God can restore a ruined situation. You know, I've seen broken marriages and marriages that had no hope. And you think they need to go on divorce court. That'd be interesting to watch, okay, on TV. And that'd be fun to watch. But you know what? I've seen God restore those. I've seen God you might be in a situation where you have a ruined relationship with your children. And you haven't talked with them for years. But can I tell you, God can restore a ruined situation. You may have a body that's just broken in physically. And God can heal you. God can restore that. You could have just messed up big time. And yet God is the God that rebuilds the ruined places. We have a powerful God. And I can have joy in the Lord to say, hey, listen, is there hope for me? Is there hope for me? And the answer is yes. There is hope for me in Jesus Christ. There is hope for you in Jesus Christ. You can trust Him. You're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. You know, I think we could end right there, but we'd get done a little early and you'd be really happy with me. But I'm just going to take another minute. We talked about how God is our exceeding joy. That's why, you know what, if I just had God and was a beggar, I'd be all right. Because He's my exceeding joy. I don't need anything else. But what God does is He blesses me, blesses you. And then when the bad things come into our lives, when trials and difficult things enter our lives, we have that stability knowing that God is able to give us the oil of joy for mourning. He doesn't minimize our feelings. He gives us the healing for those things. He's able to intervene. But I really saved the best for last. Will you go to Romans chapter 5? Romans chapter 5. God turns my sorrow to joy, gives me blessing. God Himself is my exceeding joy. But I of all that, this is the best. Romans chapter 5. I love the book of Romans, second favorite book of the Bible. I'll spend the other half of my time preaching from Romans. Romans chapter 5, verse number 11. It says this, and not only so, but we also, let's say it, joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. You know the greatest reason to joy in God? Is because we can enjoy the salvation that is found in Jesus Christ. I can joy in Christ's salvation. You know, God has saved me, and God, I hope, has saved you. You know, I think about the time in my life where I did not know Jesus Christ. I was very religious. I believed in God. I mean, ever since I was a baby, I loved God ever since I was a small child. I went to church. I was in the nursery as a newborn in my church, same church for 17 years. I went to Sunday school every Sunday. I went to junior church. I went to Sunday night, Wednesday night. I went to the Christian school ever since age 4, went to K-4 all the way to my senior year of high school, learning all about God. I could quote you every Bible verse. I knew all the preachers. My parents were Christians. My grandparents were Christians. My youth pastor even lived with us for one summer in our house. We had extra rooms and they rented from us. If anybody could say they're religious enough to get right with God, then Jay, I could have said, yes, it's me. I have all the things that God says to do, I did those, but I was still lost. I was wicked as the devil himself. I was a child of hell. I was an evil person. And all the outside was okay, but my heart was evil. My heart was wicked. I was a young man full of hatred, almost committed murder as a young man. I was a wicked child of Satan. But I thank God that God pursued me. You know what? I had a youth pastor that had the guts, the audacity too, to call my mom one day and say, you know what? Jay's a good kid, but I don't think he's a Christian. I got mad. I mean, I felt betrayed. I mean, that's a guy that lived in my house, right? And you ate out of my refrigerator, and I'm not a Christian? How dare you? Don't you know that where I go? And you know what God did? God used it as a little seed in my heart. Then going through different turmoils in my life, my father leaving our family and just kind of waking up and saying, wait a second, maybe I'm a problem too. Maybe I'm a sinner too. And pretty soon God started convicting me. You know what God did was He started taking His thumb and pressing me down into the ground. You know, my senior year of high school, we had to read this sermon in our literature class. It was by Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. You ever read that? That's the scariest thing for an unsaved person to ever read. I'm reading that. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm scared to death. I remember in my school going in and just walking into the men's room and sitting there and just throwing water on my face, being under so much conviction. God was just showing me that I was lost. I was on my way to hell. He started revealing all the stuff that I've done, and I'm thinking it's driving me, it just pushed me down and down and down. And I remember going for walks in my neighborhood, and I'd be just like, God, save me. I need salvation. And I would pray the sinner's prayer thousands of times, thinking that if I prayed this prayer, then God would save me. But God doesn't say to pray some prayer. It says to trust in Jesus Christ. You know, the cool thing that happened to me is in October, wonderful thing, not just cool, October 1993, as a senior in high school, I was laying in my room one night, and I had no peace. I had no peace. I wanted to be saved more than anything in life. I wanted salvation. In just the thought, God touched my heart. I was saying, God, save me, God, save me. And it hit me. It was by God's Spirit. And it was this, it was Jesus died for me, so I don't have to die. And instead of trusting in my prayer and trusting in my goodness and my tears and wording something properly to God, I realized that I have to trust Him. Not just trust information, trust a person that loved me, that died for me on the cross, that paid for all of my sins, that suffered my hell, so I don't have to go there. And I put my full faith and trust in Him. I, at that moment, I said, Jesus, save me. I believe you now. I get it now. I trust you. And you know what? That changed my life. That peace that I was so desperate for, got it in an instant. That hope that I was looking for, I got it at that moment. I almost became a Pentecostal. I was a Baptist, so I was shouting, but only in English. All right, but I was excited. Man, the next day, I get up and my life, it was weird because my life was just different because I had spiritual life. God gave me a new heart. He changed my life completely. Going from a young man full of hatred and murder to being a preacher. Only God can do that. And I thank God that we can joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no greater joy than to be saved. To know Jesus Christ as your Savior. To know that your sins are forgiven. To know that you're right with God. To know that when you die, you get to go to heaven. There's nothing greater than that. You know what? That should make me excited to be a Christian. Amen? That should make me want to tell somebody how to become a Christian. Can I tell you something? If you're saved, you better rejoice in the Lord, because there ain't no reason not to. There is no reason not to walk around with a smile on your face. What happens is when we do that, it's because we're over here and we've lost the joy of our salvation. The joy of the Lord's our strength, and we're just stuck here eating spiritual junk food. And we think it's going to make us satisfied when it just makes us sick and degrades us, and we're so far from God. What we need to do is we have to have that revival. We turn back to God and say, God, forgive me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And we need to recognize, instead of complaining about the things we don't have, we need to start looking at the things that God has given us. And maybe we don't have those things. Maybe it's because we're not fearing God as we should. We're not walking in his ways. So maybe we should start fearing God and obeying him. And then God will start pouring out those blessings. Maybe today you're going through a difficult time. You're going to be okay. You're going to be all right. Because God is real. And God is going to give you the oil of joy for mourning. Maybe today you're not saved. Maybe today you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. Can I tell you something? There is nothing greater in the world than being a child of God. This room is full of people that have been radically transformed by the gospel. Some of you, we wouldn't even like you before you came to Christ. We wouldn't even want to talk with you. But you know, we're a family. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Before you came to Christ, you wouldn't want to come here. All these crazy church people, what in the world? We're different. Jesus Christ changed our life. Let me encourage you today, if you don't know Christ as Savior, you know what I would do? I would come to him. I got saved when I was staring up at my ceiling in my room. You know the best place to get saved? Right where you're at. Wherever that is. Now and where you're at. There is no greater joy than being a child of God, than being a believer. Let's pray.